Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson, and it's time for Whether It's the Weather, starring the true seer of seers, prognosticator of prognosticators, and weather predictor extraordinaire. He's been doing it since he was 5 years old. He is the man who inspired the saying, trees are good, ladies and gentlemen, amateur meteorologist, and ISA board certified master arborist, the arbor doctor himself, Mr. Ron Rothes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. And I'm looking forward to the segment on tree tapping as well.
Tap my trees.
Yeah, I tap trees on a regular basis.
Yes, you do.
I go out with a tree risk assessment and tree stability, and we tap on trees with hammers all the time. I've never gotten any sap out of the process.
Really?
So I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Well, we're going to teach you how to do that. By the way, his website is arbordoctor.com. Be sure and check it out with all kinds of great tree information, any kind of other information, weather information, you name it. It's got information. He does so much on there, he doesn't really have time to take care of trees. All right, what are we going to talk about this morning? First of all, the weather. I sent you a notice that was talking about this big cold front moving through and coming through, and the polar vortex could be on the way, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, Ron, Danny Gleason, the Durango kid, wanted to know, you voiced your opinion on the term polar vortex before.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the term. I mean, the polar vortex is real. The only thing about it, it's like a number of other things that all of a sudden the press gets a hold of something and they make it out like something that's never happened before. You know, like this is some sort of a new thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the polar vortex is a semi-permanent feature in the polar region, North Pole. I believe there's one in the South Pole too, but I have to look that up. In any case, like last winter, it was very, very symmetrical and very, very stable. In other words, it's an atmospheric circulation, basically a low-pressure system. And when it's stable and symmetrical, the cold air tends to stay in the polar regions. As with anything, you know, when you spin a top, you know, it'll spin for a while and sometimes it'll get wobbly. Well, the polar vortex does the same thing. It's not, you know, it becomes asymmetrical. Sometimes it even splits. And when that happens, part of the vortex can come southward, and it's kind of complicated, but that will bring cold air from the polar regions southward into the more temperate regions. That happened. The polar vortex did become asymmetrical and split a couple weeks ago, and it's caused extremely cold weather and snowstorms in Europe and Asia. See, it doesn't always come down into North America. They had, I believe, a big snowstorm in Spain, and very cold temperatures and colder than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And in large portions of Russia and China. What we're waiting for now is what, if any, effect this is going to have on North America, because so far it hasn't had a very big effect on North America. It's looking like it is going to begin having an effect on North America over the next week or two, with colder air first coming into the Pacific Northwest and then gradually spreading east. The 8 to 14-day outlook from the National Weather Service is calling for below-normal temperatures over a good part of the country. And then the question becomes, is that going to have staying power? You know, are we going to be getting basically a quick shot of cold air, or as some of the models are showing, is it going to be something that sticks around for a few weeks? There seems to be somewhat of a consensus that it's going to stick around, although it's kind of an evolving situation, so we'll have to kind of see. But the polar vortex, it's not a fiction. I mean, it's not, just some sort of a wild term. I mean, it's certainly real, and I even have a article about it on my resources page and on my weather page. But, it's one of those catchphrases that the media grabs onto and make it sound like, this is a new thing.
Talking with the Arbor Doctor this morning, Ron Roth. This is his website, arbordoctor.com. Be sure and check that out. Talking about the weather and, of course, whether or not that polar vortex is going to fall apart a little bit and wobble and reach down and cool us down. It actually has been very much a very mild winter so far for us.
It's been fairly mild. Last winter was blowtorch mild. I think last December 2018, I'm sorry, 2019 was about 6 degrees above normal, and January 2020 was about 7 degrees above normal. So I mean, last winter was exceptionally mild. This winter has actually been a lot cooler than that, closer to normal, although a little bit, two or three degrees milder than normal. So yes, we've been milder than normal, not nearly as much as last year, and it's looking like the end of January into February may actually be below normal.
Interesting. Now, you haven't had a chance to get out and snowboard yet, or you did a little bit, but not much.
My snowboard is sitting outside with snow on it right now. In fact, I do a 7 a.m. Report to the National Weather Service. So when I get done here, I'll be going outside, trudging into the snow and measuring snow on the snowboard.
Trudging into the snow and measuring. What happens if there's a lot of wind? Doesn't it blow it off the snowboard?
That can happen.
Yeah.
Windy conditions. Measuring snow in blizzard conditions or in windy conditions can be very, very difficult. Sometimes it's quite frustrating. The best case scenario for measuring snow on a snowboard is relatively calm conditions.
Got it. Talking with Ron Roth, of course, his website, arbordoctor.com. So looking in our area, then what are you saying? The next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, there's a real good chance we're going to see some pretty cold temperatures?
Yeah, it's looking cold. It's also looking like it's going to be kind of stormy. So a lot of storm systems. Now, as always, the key is going to be what's the track of the storm, and some of the projections would take storms through the southern United States and up the East Coast, which would bring possibly another one or two major East Coast snowstorms. When that happens, the Ohio Valley tends to get kind of missed. When they come a little bit further north, up the west side of the Appalachians, that's when the Ohio Valley really gets hit. And then, if a storm comes up and goes more through the upper Ohio Valley or the lower Great Lakes, then the Ohio Valley and the East Coast end up getting warm rain, even in a cold pattern. So kind of depends on what the track's going to be. The overall trend seems to favor the more southern tracks, which would give Cincinnati and the Ohio Valley some snow chances, but certainly the East Coast, some snow chances too, and certainly potentially a big one or two.
Ron Roth, go ahead.
On the East Coast.
Ron Roth is the Arbor Doc. Now, in about 3 weeks, you're going to have that big challenge again. You and Punxsutawney and Buckeye Chuck. How are you feeling this year about that?
Oh, I'm thinking that the chances this year of 6 more weeks of winter right now look pretty good. But we'll know more when I see if I see my shadow or not.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing whether you see your shadow or not. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Biochar, have you heard about it? It keeps popping up here and there, and I know somebody's been using it. Ron Rothus, he's going to tell us about his experiences with it. What is it? Is it something we should start thinking about for soil amendments? Here in the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Lucky Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. Special guest this morning, Ron Roth, the Sea Arbor Doctor, talking about weather and trees and biochar. His website's arbordoctor.com. By the way, before we go to the biochar, does the snow have to stay on the ground for a certain amount of time to be measured as? So, like, if it started snowing right now like crazy and it snowed 2.5 inches, but at noon it turned 50 degrees and it all melted, does that still count?
If it sticks and it can be measured, it counts.
Okay.
If it melts on contact, then it doesn't count. And, you know, you can't always, you know, measure the water and convert that to how much snow it would be, but that's not how it's done.
Right.
You have to actually be able to measure the snow that's on the ground.
But there's no length of time it has to last. As long as you can measure it, you're good to go.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct. Now, you know, the thing to be careful of is, you know, if you have continuous snow for 6 hours, if you go out and measure it every hour and record that as new snowfall, that can give you an inflated total. So you don't want to do that. But if it snows and it melts an hour later, as long as you can measure what fell, then that is recorded as, you know, snowfall.
Got it. You and I have talked about this before, but every now and then it continues to pop up on, you know, you read articles about it, more and more folks doing research on it all. Product called biochar, and it's been out there forever. And you know, I know that you have experimented with it. You may still be using it. But again, it's starting to pop up a little bit right now as far as a soil amendment. And I just want to get your kind of input. First of all, are you still using biochar?
We are.
Okay.
We are.
All right. So what is biochar for folks that are listening?
It's basically it's a little bit complicated, but it's basically a horticultural grade or agricultural grade charcoal, that's produced in a very specific way in low oxygen environment. So it's not fireplace ash. It's absolutely not fireplace ash. But what it does is it becomes a place in the soil where if there's an excess of moisture and nutrients in the soil, those will be stored in the biochar. And then when you get to a point where there's a deficiency in the soil, the biochar will release them. And it will release them to the plants, but also to the microbes that are in the soil. So it's very beneficial, you know, to soil health when it comes to helping the microbes. You know, years ago, I worked for one of the big lawn care and tree care companies, and somebody asked me, you know, if we fertilize trees on a regular basis, aren't we making them kind of dependent? And my answer was no. And 20, 30 years ago, well, it turns out that I was wrong, that when we give a constant diet of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium to plants, they do become kind of dependent on that because you're bypassing the microbes in the soil, and the plants really don't have to carry on the symbiotic relationships with the microbes anymore, plus the fact that a lot of our traditional fertilizers are salt-based, which can actually, you know, burn the microbes in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So using biochar actually helps you to have a healthier soil because, you know, soils are complicated. It's not just dirt. I mean, you have a very complex community of microbes, beneficial fungi and bacteria and things like that in the soil. And when we use biochar, you're actually kind of helping that whole ecosystem out. So I'm sold on it. I think it's a really good a tool that's in the tool chest. I mean, it's not going to solve all our problems, but when you have a healthier biology in the soil, you're going to have healthier plants. I compare it to, I have for years had irritable bowel, and so, you know, I'll eat yogurt with bacterial cultures in it to help the bacteria in my gut. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that, you know, we think, you know, we hear bacteria and fungus, we think bad, but the reality is a lot of fungi and bacteria are good. And having those healthy bacterial cultures in your gut is really good. Having healthy bacteria and fungi in the ecosystem of the soil is really, really good. So as much as we can do to help that out, and biochar does that, it just makes for a healthier system.
Well, we are seeing it, you know, available in garden centers, you know, not much, but still it's becoming more and more available. Are there different grades or different types, or is when you get biochar, you get biochar?
There are definitely different grades and types. There's not, I don't believe there's a really good governing body to really, you know, make sure that all of it is processed the correct way. And one of the things about biochar, it becomes, it will store nutrients in water, like I said, when there's a deficiency or when there's an excess. So if you put plain biochar into the soil, sometimes it will actually take some nutrients out of the soil, which can be, you know, a negative. So if you know, plain biochar isn't always the best. So most of the biochar products have either compost, you know, organic materials mixed with them. So it'll be like 50% biochar, 50% compost, or they'll be charged with nutrients already in the production process, so that when you put them in the soil, they're not going to actually take anything away from the plants. So there are some biochars out there that are just plain biochar, and you really have to be careful of those. You know, if you're going to use those, you need to be making sure that you're adding some sort of a compost or something like that with that. So the products that already have that in them, that's been kind of figured out in the research and development process.
So, like, how, you know, again, what kind of percentages are you, when you are you using it as a backfill around plants when you're planting? Are you using it just to put in like vertical mulching? How are you applying it to the soil?
Yes, all of the above.
Okay.
We'll use it at planting time. We will use it when we're doing, we call it bioaeration, where we have organic nutrients.
Of course you do.
Organic nutrients mixed with biochar that will add to the soil. You know, in order to help, you know, trees basically with, you know, vertical mulching or aeration of the soil. So, yeah, all of the above. And we've been using it for quite a few years.
I'm assuming it's a very fine, what you're using is very fine biochar.
Yeah, there's a granular form that we use that's, you know, more or less the consistency of fertilizer or something like that. And then we're actually using one that's produced by the American Biochar Company that is so fine that it basically acts as a liquid, and we can put it in with liquid organic nutrients, and it'll go right through our equipment. It doesn't clog anything up. So, I think it's 5 micron size or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But it can come in several forms, but you just have to watch that it does have the nutrient charge in with it, or it will sometimes cause problems depending on how it's manufactured.
So again, for folks, it's not a fertilizer. It's to help enhance the availability of nutrients in the soil by adding biochar.
Right, and you know, a lot of the research now on fertilization of trees is negative. That, you know, high nitrogen fertilizers on trees will stimulate more growth and cause the tree to dip into its carbohydrate reserve to do that. Which is negative. I mean, basically, it's drawing on its rainy day bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So things like biochar and organic nutrients, where you're feeding the ecology in the soil, you're not pushing that extra growth in the tree, and you're not causing telling the tree, you know, it needs to spend out of its rainy day bank account. So I would argue it's much better when it comes to tree health than using a lot of the traditional NPK fertilizers.
Are my earthworms going to be happy when I add biochar?
There should be, although we could get into earthworms, too. You know, earthworms aren't thought to be native to North America, and I actually think they might be causing some problems with sugar maple trees. You talked to the earthworm guy, one of those jumping earthworms, a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a whole other subject.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and that's interesting that there's no native earthworms in North America.
Not in North America, they don't think so.
Yeah, I always thought that. As a matter of fact, it just kind of blows away. Anyway, talking with Ron Roth, this is the Arbor Doc. Again, his website is arbordoctor.com. Be sure and check it out, /weather, if you want to learn more about the weather. We appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Quick break. We come back. We will talk about tapping our trees. You interested in doing that? Maybe making a little maple syrup in your backyard? And by the way, you can use more than maple trees. We'll find out about that as well. Well, there's a company out there called tapmytree.com, and you can order just a couple taps and try it yourself. We're going to learn more about it with Jim Adamansky here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Garden growing. Call Ron now at 1-800-823-TALK. You're listening to In the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.